Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Unlimited Realities with Lisa Zimmer Mahoney. That's me, I'm your host, and today we have a great guest, Dr. Patrick McGinnis. And we are going to be talking about relationships, how we can improve relationships, what comes in between relationships, and most commonly, it's a lack of effective communication. So we're going to talk a little bit about relationships, which is Dr. McGinnis's expertise, and a little bit later in the show, we are going to bring in also Misty Dawn, who's going to talk about an event here in Vero Beach. This is kind of like my home week here with my two Vero peeps that are doing incredible things here on the east coast of Florida, and Misty is organizing a fundraiser that's going to have Sean Galloway as the musician, and a proceeds going to our homeless shelter here in Vero Beach, Florida. So without delaying any longer, let me bring my first guest on, which is Dr. Patrick McGinnis, who's going to talk to us today about how we can improve relationships, which I find is a real timely topic here in, during the holidays when we're usually around family or our relationships with our partners or our children or maybe a little, you know, stressed. So let's bring out Dr. Patrick McGinnis. Patrick, thank you so much for being with us on Unlimited Realities.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And I know that your work consists of dealing with a lot of people, both in couples counseling and therapy, as well as individuals in regard to how to improve themselves, but also within relationships. So let me just start off with a real general question. What do you find in your profession that seems to be the most common complaint in partnerships?
Well, actually, I find, like most therapists do, the what we call the big three, which are problems around sex, money, or power. And then connected to those are also unresolved conflicts and trust issues.
Okay. Now, in regard to complaints in partnerships, let's just say, let's take a common problem of really not meeting each other's needs, whether it's a sexual need, whether it's a financial agreement or compromise, or whether it's even just relating or connecting. Is there a, I know you work with a lot of communication techniques. Can you talk to us a little bit about effective communication within relationships and why there seems to be a gap in regard to how men communicate and how women communicate? Because there is, you know, a little bit of a gender difference in regard to communication, that if we could, you know, really effectively hear the other partner and what they're saying, that we could actually make bridges instead of blowing them up. So Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Oh, absolutely, because without good communication, you cannot solve those five big areas that I mentioned to you. It all starts with communication. And there are differences in the way that genders tend to communicate with each other. Men tend to talk a lot more in public situations, and women tend to talk more than men do at home. So that's a basic difference right there. There's a common misconception that women actually talk more than men do, but studies have shown that they, both genders really talk about the same amount, but in different venues. So that's one of the things, a misconception that can happen. Women are more likely to face their partner during a conversation and to make eye contact. Men are more likely to look away or even try to distract themselves in some way because it's a little bit threatening, more threatening for men to talk really deeply one-on-one with someone. And for that reason, men, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Men tend to jump from topic to topic more than women do. And I think it's connected to that reason. They're a little bit uncomfortable talking at real depth to most things. Women also tend to make more yes comments and shake their head yes, nodding. And that's what women commonly do to encourage the other partner to know that they're being heard and to encourage them to keep speaking. Men tend to take those nods and encouragements as agreement. And so that can be an area of a lot of concern and later conflict between the couple.
Oh, that's a great perspective right there, because in a lot of ways, as a woman speaking to men, I've learned through trial and error really what has worked and what hasn't worked. And I have to agree that there's definitely a disconnect when it comes to effective communication if you're not really speaking your truth or your mind. And I know that you work with a lot of Harville Hendrix's techniques, one being the Imago, and I would like you to discuss a little bit, or maybe explain that to our listeners in regard to what that therapy or that technique actually is in regard to repeating back what the person has heard in regard to, resolving conflict or coming to compromise or discussing, maybe an intense or heated area. So can we discuss that a little bit? Okay.
Great. Absolutely. I won't go into the theory behind Imago very much. I might touch in on a little bit. But the couple's dialogue that you're referring to is one of the many tools that's used in Imago therapy. And it really is to help both partners in the conversation to more fully understand each other. In the typical disagreement, someone is sending a message to the other person, and the other person isn't really listening. They're thinking about their emotion that's coming up, or they're thinking about their response. So by learning to listen more effectively, we can actually hear what's being said and begin to actually communicate in a way that can lead to some resolution. So the three steps to doing a couple's dialogue. The first is what we call mirroring, which is simply repeating back, using your own words, what you heard your partner say to you, and then checking to make sure that you did get it right, that you heard them correctly. And it's important that the person who sent the message to listen to what's coming back so that they can correct any misunderstanding that the partner may have heard. So that's the first piece, simply mirroring. And the second piece is validation. Now, validation often is misunderstood as agreement, and it's not. Validation is simply asking yourself, does what I'm hearing make sense to me based on my partner's perspective? Does it make sense? And if it doesn't, then it's important to ask some questions, open-ended questions, until it does make sense. And then the validation can simply be, I understand, that makes sense to me because, or something like that. Very short, focused on your understanding of the other person's situation or the message they're trying to send to you. And the third piece is empathy, and it's putting yourself in the emotional shoes of the other person around that topic in this moment and trying to get a sense of the emotional flavor that they are experiencing. Once you've done all three pieces, then you switch, and the other person now does all three parts as you communicate back, as you respond to them, and they just mirror, validate, and empathize, and then it goes back and forth, and that's a simple example of a dialogue.
Great. Now, I actually have done this with my ex-husband, and I did find out a lot about how we are different in regard to communication, gender differences, because there's certain things that a woman or women tend to go into in regard to communication that men don't, and they're much more blunt and to the point. Do you find that, because out of my experience, showed me that the empathizing aspect with the male was a little bit challenging. Now, do you run into that as a rule, or was it just, you know, kind of like my personal experience, or is that something that men may have a more difficult time tapping into because, one, they really, you know, that's kind of a scary part to go to for men in general, where women tend to be more feeling based in general. Is that kind of like a stumbling block or something that did you find that in working with couples that the empathizing aspect could be a little bit more challenging with the men than the women?
It's often more difficult for men to get in touch with emotions than it is for women, and that's because men are socialized that way. However, many men, especially I'm finding more and more now, many men are able to access their emotions more readily than in the past. So I think that is shifting. But it is a problem, and it's a frustration for many women that I work with. They complain that, you know, he just doesn't get it. He doesn't get the emotional piece. But there are some techniques that are helpful in helping the man to access and name his emotions, because often we may feel something, but we don't know what to call it.
Right. Is there something that you could share very simply or easily for our male listeners that would help them to maybe open up that side of themselves?
Well, men are more in touch, I think, with the physical aspects of their bodies. So if you can relate to a physical sensation that occurs in your body, that often happens whenever an emotion begins to take over or take control, you can start to identify the emotion much earlier. So if, for instance, you are a person who, when you start to feel some anger, and it takes a while, you know, before you get to the sense of, oh, I'm angry, so you're not able to identify some of the earlier steps leading up to that, you may notice that your body starts to become tight. You may notice that your breathing shifts in some way. You may notice maybe tension across your upper chest or your arms or perhaps in your neck. And those can be early indicators. Oh, I must be getting frustrated. I must be getting irritated. And you can then name it earlier, and then you can do something about it before it just sort of explodes out. So getting in touch with the body responses, the physical responses, especially early on, helps one to identify the emotion and then also to intervene from inappropriately expressing that emotion if it gets out of control.
Oh, that's great. One of the things that I found really interesting from Harville Hendricks is a comment that he believes that, you know, it can take two people to really make a relationship horrendous. But by using this tool, the mirroring, the validating, and the empathizing, you can actually create more compatibility within a relationship, even if one person of the partnership is doing it, because it kind of shifts how you're communicating, and you're communicating more from your heart. You're communicating more in the present moment. It's not something that you're bringing in past, you know, you pissed me off when you did this 6 months ago, or, you know, this is something, you know, there's more presence with the communication. And so I really found that a very powerful statement, that because you think that it takes two to mess up a relationship, it takes two to heal a relationship, and ideally, yes, but you can improve a situation if you're being more conscious and being more present with your heart in your communicating. The one thing that I really found that was helpful in regard to what you were just saying was there needs to be somewhat of an acceptance that men and women just simply communicate differently. And if we can just kind of get off the you're right and I'm wrong and we're just different, I think that there would be an ease in understanding or less angst in regard to the power control over relationships, which you said is also a very, you know, a common issue or a complaint within relationships is the power, the hierarchy, I'm in charge and you're not. When you come into that part of dealing with couples or relationships, and there's a power struggle. How do you address that? What do you do in regard to allowing the other person who may not be finding their voice to find their voice?
Well, one of the nice things about Imago therapy is that it is structured communication. So when you have a disagreement or a topic that you really need to discuss, there are ground rules. And if both people agree to stick by the ground rules and practice those ground rules, then it flows actually very naturally into a state where both people can feel safe, that their needs are going to be met, that they're going to be heard, and it becomes safer to express what they have not been able to express in the past. Sometimes when this pattern has been too ingrained for a long time, it really helps to have a therapist that's trained to step in and help to restructure and to help each person learn how to communicate more effectively. Because many times men, and I'll say men because it tends to be men that are more at least overtly controlling, because there's also the manipulative sort of strategy of controlling too, which both sexes can engage in. But men, in this instance, let's say, they don't really want to control as much, but they're afraid. They're afraid if they don't control things, they'll fall apart.
Right. And it's a vulnerability aspect. There's a person on our chat room who posed an idea, thought, and she says, or he or she says, that they think that when their partner is uncomfortable, every feeling is interpreted as anger. And so that's an interesting concept in itself, because sometimes men don't necessarily understand what emotion they are going through or how to actually define the emotion itself. Do you find that also?
Yeah, that speaks back to what I was discussing earlier, that men have trouble identifying their emotions and then naming them. And so learning how to do that in more subtle ways can help them, very commonly.
Yes, it's basically, it comes down to having that trust with one another where you can open up and feel that you're being heard and respected at the same time. And do you find also that there's an ability to have more success with couples when they work together in communication, like if they set a time or they take a time out after an argument, or they do it maybe, 45 minutes after having a blow up so that they're not so heated when they're discussing it? Or, I mean, is timing an element that could be used also in regard to working with your partner?
Yes. Timing is very important. It's important in most cases to discuss an issue as early as you can, but not if you know that it's not going to work out well. If you know that one person is too elevated, then there needs to be a space, may need to be a timeout. There may need to be an appointment made, and it's fair to do that, but it's important that the person who says, let me take a time out and I'll get back to you, that they tell the partner when they're going to get back. And in addition, when they come back, they bring the topic up, because the person who is frustrated may no longer be feeling that, and now they don't want to rock the boat, so they're not going to bring it up. But if you don't bring it up, then those sort of issues just tend to recycle over and over again, become a repeating pattern, and they never get resolved. So if the person who took the time out will bring up the issue, the first person who had the issue to begin with, they feel respected, they feel valued, and you're actually able to begin moving towards resolving issues. Time is very important.
And is it also valuable for couples when, I mean, because this kind of technique can actually be used on all relationships. I mean, I've used it with my children, I've used it with relatives, mm-hmm. I've used it with friends. I mean, it really comes in helpful to really hear what the other person's saying and to get, you know, the point across and understand that it's being understood. And I also find that the timing part can be a little bit confusing, because if you are needing to address it sooner than later, sometimes the other person may not be ready to come back into that discussion. So is there a way, you know, do you ask your partner, look, we need to talk about this, you know, come back to me in 4 hours, or let's talk about it today, or what time would be good to you, good for you to discuss this with me today? I mean, is that an approach that's, you know, conceivable? Is that something that would be advisable?
It's conceivable. What I usually recommend is the timeout should be 1 hour at the most. And during that time, the person who's feeling angry or very frustrated should do something physical. And that'll help to move the energy that's within the body, because energy is a force that needs to move. It can't be static. And when we hold on to it, it gets in the way. So when we do something physical, then we're more able to come back and discuss whatever we need to discuss. But let's say the timing is such that it's late at night and you're too sleepy, you're late to work, you know, that sort of thing, then you have to make an appointment as to when you're going to do it. Or
right.
If you're on the way someplace and you're going to be late to a party, let's say, and you're starting to have a conflict, well, it's terrible to go to a party and both people be frustrated with each other. It's better just to stop the car, have your dialogue, deal with whatever the issue is, and be late to the party, but get there in a loving, sort of connected, you know, manner.
Right.
So that's real important.
That's a great point, especially with New Year's Eve coming on. Patrick, I could talk to you for hours, so we'll definitely have to discuss some more about this, but thank you so much for being on our show. You can feel free to stay on. I'm going to introduce Misty Dawn, who is organizing our fundraiser here in Vero Beach, and it's going to be in the middle of January, and she's going to have Sean Galloway as the musician, and this is an event that really is to benefit Vero Beach Homeless Shelter, and she's done such tremendous work. So without further ado, let me introduce Misty Dawn. Misty, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much, Lisa. I really enjoy listening to your show.
Oh, thank you. So talk to us. Tell us about this event that's coming in January. And Sean Galloway is the musician. And tell us about him. And let it rip, sweetie.
Oh, okay, definitely. I'm really excited about this event. It is happening on January 15th, and the time frame is from 12 to 9. From 12 to 5, there will be oral photography, readers, different things for people to participate in. And then we will have the actual concert with Sean from 7 to 9. And if you haven't heard Sean, I definitely recommend everybody to go to iChooseLove.com, because he has this beautiful song of I Choose Love, and it is all about lifting the vibration.
And Sean also wrote that song like 2 days after 9/11, where he was really moved to go into the love vibration, right? So it's a moving song. You know, you can't help but love the song. It really vibrates to your soul. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. It should be a wonderful event. Now, is there, do you have things that are going to be for all ages, or is it going to be primarily an adult venue, or is it both, because you have the music at the end of the evening?
Absolutely. I definitely would say that, you know, children will enjoy this event as well. Sean's music is absolutely beautiful. As far as the earlier events in the day, it's more oriented toward adults, but the concert I definitely recommend for the entire family. Also, I recommend that everyone pre-purchase their tickets, as there is only 100 seats available for the concert. So we want to make sure that everybody gets their seats. And what I really love about this is that it is being catered by Nancy's Edibles, and the food itself, everything that is made off the food, is being given to the Good Samaritan Home and the homeless families of Vero. So everything that anybody eats, knowing that they are feeding another person. So I love the fact that when we're giving to someone else, we are receiving as well.
Oh, that's beautiful, Misty. Now, where can they go? How much are tickets, and what's the website, and where can, or a phone number or contact, and let's make this a let's
absolutely
let's rock
Vero
Beach.
You want to go to www.radiantmisty.com. This is where you can actually pre-purchase the tickets. The tickets are $40, and that includes the concert as well as a 15-minute reading. You can get it separate if you prefer as well. And so, yes, definitely, this is going to be a great time for everyone. The entire community is going to benefit from this event as we all come together unified. And that's really why I put this event together, because so many people are in a place of feeling lack, of feeling doubt, of feeling fear. And if we all can come together, you know, to do this for one another, we recognize that we're all in this together.
That's right. And that it's all about helping one another. That's one thing about Vero Beach.
Yes.
When we went to the hurricanes in 2004, it was so inspiring to see the love, the unconditional love of people and neighbors that you never knew, you never saw before, but they came
Absolutely.
Out to help those of us who lost everything. And that's the beauty of small community. And yes, there's limited aspects for adults here in Vero Beach. However, it is a great community to raise kids and family, and it's very mom and pop and laid back. But it's also, this is an event that's going to really put Vero Beach in a different aspect of really supporting alternative aspects versus the organized religion that usually comes in and does events like this. This is more of a spiritually
Absolutely.
Based program.
Absolutely. I hope that it's a bridge. I hope that
Yes.
what it provides for everybody is a bridge, that it does not matter what you believe in, what your faith is. It is all about the love, and it doesn't have to be put in a box or defined as this or that. If we all come together from a place of love to help one another, to recognize that we're all in this together, that everybody is four steps away from being homeless, and that this can
Right.
happen to you as well, then we recognize that unity that we talk about, that oneness, and it just lifts the vibration. And that
That's
is what
right.
I'm hoping for.
That's right. And it's about, you know, walking your talk. It's about being real and helping those who need some help, you know, and everyone at some point in their life needs a little bit of support or a helping hand. And this is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. I hope we have people from the tri-county areas that come in for this, because it's going to be a rocking event. Sean's a great musician. It's going to be beautiful.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Yeah, he's wonderful. You know, and I'm going to donate some intuitive readings, and there's going to be readers there, and there's going to be wonderful, isn't it Cuban food, Misty? I mean, it's like,
oh gosh, you know. Yes, we're going to have a wonderful food. It is going to be pollo chicken with beans and rice and corn tortillas and cheesecake on a stick and cupcakes and all of those kinds of goodies. So just remember that every time that you buy something as far as eating, that you're going to be feeding someone else as well. So I encourage everybody to come, you know, with a hungry stomach to help
Great.
Support.
Great. Thank you so much, Misty. Thanks so much for being on. And Patrick, thank you so much for being on. This has been a wonderful, wonderful show with you guys, my local homies here, so I really, really appreciate your time and calling in here. Thank you again, everybody who's listening today, for Unlimited Realities. We will be changing the day to Thursday starting January 6, 2011. And I want to thank you for joining us. Have a very blessed new year. Many blessings. May all your dreams be abundant and show themselves and realize to you in this new year. God bless. Bye-bye.